This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Thanks for staying with us here on The Morning Run. You're with Lynn, Julian and Shanning. We're running a poll this morning on the BFM Twitter account. That's at BFM Radio. We're asking you, would you use the EPF's online platform to buy unit trust? Do let us know what you think. You've got about 2 hours to vote on the poll. And the reason why we're asking this is that we're following up from our conversation yesterday because EPF is allowing you to invest your EPF funds in approved unit trusts via their online platform, iInvest.
And according to the CEO Tunku Ali Zakri Alias, he says that EPF might be the first institution in the world to allow members to link their retirement funds to online investment services. So I guess the question we're asking today is whether that is a good or bad thing, right?
Well, there's some already very visible benefits, one of which is the user experience could be more seamless. You could do it 24/7. iInvest apparently contains tools to compare information so that you can make better decisions. And the most important is that the sales commission is actually lower. It's either 0 to 0.5% versus 3% for your regular offline purchases.
So, but for more about iInvest, we speak to Robert Fu this morning. He's Managing Director of Financial Planning Advisory, MyFP Services. Thank you so much for joining us this morning, Robert. Good morning. What should EPF members know about this online platform, first of all?
Well, hello.
Hello, good morning.
Yeah. So EPF, I think, actually provided this tool for people to actually invest on themselves. In the past, you can only invest to one particular, unit trust. Nowadays, you can actually go to the website and actually invest your money into multiple unit trust companies. That is good. And the fact that actually the charge for investing has dropped from 3%. In the past, was actually more than that. Now it's about 0.5%. But I have a concern basically is that why is it a percentage? And why can't it be just like if you want to subscribe for insurance for motor car and then they charge you like $10 or things like that? Because in the first place, the unit trust companies are already earning 1.5 to 1.75% on the management of the fund. So why should they actually charge this again? And so including EPF, when you approve a fund, you are basically telling to the public, hey, this fund is approved and it could perform better than EPF. But we know from our basic simple calculation that actually 25% of the fund that approved did not perform after 2 years. And actually EPF has kicked them out from the approved fund. So although the platform is a very good platform and actually is a good move by EPF, but EPF should do more for the contributors because instead of just approving the fund, they should actually tell the funds you should reduce the annual management fee from perhaps 1.5 to 1% because actually, there are funds globally that actually make it cheaper.
So, Robert, that fixed fee proposal actually makes a lot of sense. It means that whether you're investing 1,000 or 10,000, the ringgit fee is just going to be fixed at a certain amount of dollars, right?
Yeah, because it's a transaction.
Okay, you were talking about returns earlier. Can you just elaborate on what you said about only 25% of the funds have done well? These are EPF funds, and it always boils down to returns, right? If the returns from the unit trust funds are better, that would be one reason to take it out of the very stable EPF returns and put it into unit trust.
Definitely. I mean, if the unit trust is performing better than EPF, then it makes good sense for you to perhaps invest that money, your EPF money, into unit trust. But the point here is that EPF has a way to, which is not very clear when you check the website, that they say that, hey, these funds should perform at least 3 years before we approve them. And then the point here is that if you check EPF website, they have actually kicked out quite a number of the approved funds to be unapproved. And when we did a very simple calculation, from our firm, we found that probably 25% or one out of four actually did not perform after 3 years. And that's bad because just imagine you follow what EPF say approved, then you invest it. And after 3 years, hey, this is not performing better than my EPF.
So you're also, in other words, saying that 75% of the funds are outperforming EPF. Is that right?
Seem to be based on what EPF measurement is.
And Robert, the question is, there's 300 over funds available on this iInvest option. So how easy or how difficult is it for the ordinary EPF member to navigate and choose the fund that is suitable for them?
This is where EPF actually should not say, hey, this fund's approved or not approved. What EPF should say, okay, if you approve, you want us to approve your fund, you should actually charge lower so that it's contributing to the contributor, which means, hey, this is an approved fund because the annual management fee is reduced so that you can actually make better than what EPF can give you. So let's say 1%.
But what about the risk-reward profiling of the EPF member?
Okay, so the reward profiling is you have to talk to people who actually understand investment. So you have to consult people who can actually invest for you. There are platforms that actually say, hey, we can invest for you and we use this risk-return kind of model to actually do it for you. So you pay them a fee. So why charge, you know, a commission when you can have advisors who can actually charge you a fee if you want that help?
Thank you so much, Robert. And that was Robert Fu, Managing Director of MyFP Services, a financial planner. And I guess his answer really does kind of addresses also the concern that this will essentially cannibalize the business of agents and financial planners, right? Because there are, at the end of the day, nearly 400 qualified funds that the EPF is opening up. And how do you choose? So at the end of the day, you still do have to go to someone with a more in-depth understanding of these, right?
Actually, if you go to EPF, you'll be surprised to learn that they have got very professional financial advisors in there. EPF has actually in-house created this group of people who are in a position also to let you know what your options are. And I think that's not a bad thing. I think the problem with unit trusts and all investment products is a question of distribution, right? And when distribution is very expensive, whether you use financial planners who charge a fixed lump sum fee, which is in the tune of a few thousand bucks, which a lot of people can't afford, or you use agents who charge you a few bucks here and there, but as a percentage, they amount to something that's very expensive and eats away at your returns.
Yeah, the investing landscape for the ordinary person also has to change, one from product pushing to actually financial planning.
Absolutely. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.